It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target. Work the hardest, with passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, everybody? It's Marshall Couture, also known as Plex. And you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast, hosted at DonkeyJawProjects.com, and also affiliated with PlexBeats.com. So how you guys doing? I'm doing all right, as usual. I'd like to start saying, but the artist within me won't really let me, but I want to start saying better than I deserve, like there's that guy who does like all the money stuff, like getting out of debt and all that stuff, and I can't think of it off the top of my head right now, but he has a show, he helps people get out of debt and stuff, and he always says better than I deserve, and I definitely like that. Definitely goes along well with my faith, my beliefs, but I don't know, probably if you don't, you know, believe in God and stuff, you probably don't really like that, but I don't know, I like it. But anyways, so I might have to figure out a different way of saying something like that, because like I said, the artist in me always wants to innovate and not copy people. But I guess that maybe that's not the artist in me, because it's probably the hip-hop in me, because hip-hop is all about don't bite, even though everybody bites everybody. Well, not everybody, but, you know, it's kind of weird that they say that, and then it seems like there's similarities even with people who say that. I mean, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. Everybody's influenced by something. So, yeah. So, let's see. Updates. Still working on this, the Beats thing. I went through kind of a, I don't know, like a, I can't think of words. It's annoying me. It's probably because I haven't had any coffee, and it's the morning, and my stomach is hungry, but I don't really have an opportunity to get coffee at the moment, so we'll just have to go roll with it. But I was kind of going through crisis, that's the word, a little bit of crisis this week. You know, we're trying to do the beats and all that stuff and make money with it, and just the progress, you know. I got to a point where I was feeling like, you know, is anything gonna work? Like, everything I try just seems to never get anywhere, you know? And it's not for lack of effort. But, I mean, I do get lazy sometimes, and I think it's a lot to do with the overwhelmingness of all these tasks and stuff like that. That's when I get lazy. But, you know, I always try to kick back into gear and just keep working, keep pushing stuff out. You know, the good old Gary Vaynerchuk school of thought, I guess. So, you know, I'm always trying to push stuff out and everything. Sorry, I'm like making decisions while I'm driving here. But, well, that's kind of funny. All right, so anyways. the point is, you know, I'm always trying to push stuff out and everything and keep going, but I get frustrated. And yeah, I was kind of maybe going to quit this week. I was like definitely right at the edge, feeling like I was ready to just kind of stop. I mean, almost everything really with the art and creativity and trying to make it as a business and stuff. And, you know, so I hit up my buddy Mike Villad, and he kind of helped talk me off the ledge a little bit. But, you know, and then I was looking into some videos and stuff from some of the guys in the GTS movement who, you know, they're kind of following their lead as far as all this beat stuff goes and all that. And so that kind of encouraged me. There was like one particular video that it wasn't super like amazing, but it was just the right thing, you know, to kind of break that little funk, you know. It didn't make me feel super better, but it like, it just kind of broke a little bit of that, you know, quitting vibe going on. And I was gonna sleep on it anyways, because sometimes I just, you know, I'll feel better the next day. So but you know, I was still looking into things to try to get me out of the funk. And then I ended up finding my way over to another video that is part of like within the GTS movement. And, you know, behind the paywall, there's this thing called the Quick Start Guide, and it's a series of videos that, you know, they teach you some specific things to, you know, get this thing started and really get your beats selling, like, not super quick, like, it still takes time, but it's like they've done a lot of things to try to sell beats and gone through a lot of trial and error stuff. And this is like the things that'll help really like kickstart it into gear. Like quicker than normal. Like it's not gonna be super fast, but this, you know, is kind of a primer to all that to get things rolling. Like Jeff Lafferty said, you know, get that locomotive just moving a little bit, you know, and then we can kick it into high gear later on with some more, you know, advanced information and tips and tutorials or whatever. Training is the word I was looking for. So, you know, they have the quick start thing, and the whole point of that I was saying was that there was this one video, which I think is actually the first video, but yeah, anyways, it's like the first video, and it has to do with like the 90-day, they have like a 90-day commitment thing they ask for or whatever, or they suggest. And basically it's you know, putting out a video every day for 90 days. Because video and a couple other things, but video is kind of one of the main things that have gotten them all to, you know, do a lot better with their beats and stuff. You know, video on YouTube, but even in other places too. But you know, it's kind of the big thing, you know, right now is video, you know, that kind of content people really dig. And that's why I'm really excited that a lot of us art guys through the 100 Days of Comics that Kevin Cross started up, you know, a lot of us have gotten on YouTube and, you know, made a habit of getting on there all the time. And So that's a really good thing. Like, we need to keep doing that, and we need to keep pushing that. And, I mean, really a daily video is ideal. But you don't have to do that. I mean, that's kind of what you might want to do to start, you know, to get a following. And then I'd say eventually you can graduate to maybe 2 or 3 videos a week. But I think you still need to keep it, you know, at least a couple a week. 1 a week, I kind of feel like that doesn't do the trick. I could be wrong, but I kind of feel like, yeah, that doesn't do the trick. You really need to be on YouTube and be part of the community. I mean, maybe eventually when you get super popular, but most people, even the super popular people, continue doing 2 or more a week because, you know, I mean, you make a habit of, you form the habit and, you know, you start to enjoy making videos. And, like, it's like this podcast, like, I feel like if I don't do it, I feel like I'm not connecting, you know what I mean? Like, it's like I feel like it's a friend that I don't, if I don't talk to once a week, I kind of feel like I'm losing touch, or I don't know, it just doesn't feel right if I don't talk to you guys, you know, at least once a week. And even when I'm doing these interviews and stuff, sometimes I kind of wish I was just doing this, talking to you guys, because I like doing that. But you guys really enjoy the video, the interviews, and so do I. I mean, I gain so much from doing these interviews, and I learn a lot, and it's just cool to, you know, I still get that chance to, like, talk to, you know, a creator, you know, and that's awesome, and connect with one person, especially, specifically, and then that connects with everybody, so that's kind of really cool. But I don't know, no, there's no but, I don't know why I said but, so, you know, there's this video, the 90-day commitment thing, and basically what the 90-day commitment video is it's like a Google Hangout that they recorded, and, you know, it's behind the paywall, though, you can only see it, you know, obviously if you pay, and it really does, like, a good overview with, like, the GTS, like, leadership people, leaders, whatever. I don't know what they call themselves. I'm calling them leadership because that makes sense. But, you know, all those people get together and talk about the whole 90-day commitment and the whole quick start, all the videos that go, you know, you have to go through and try to apply. And it was really super, encouraging, and it just reminded me of things I already knew, but when you don't have that in the forefront of your mind, you know, all the doubts and stuff creep in, and, you know, it's very natural as a human being to get into these states, you know, of just, like panic or just feeling like nothing's working. And, you know, the truth is things are working, you know, it's just, you don't see results, it's not a, you know, a thing that you're gonna see results right away, it's the long con, you know, it's, you're setting things up now that you'll see results, you know, later, and, you know, it could be, you know, you can, you know, throw out some videos and see results by the end of the week. You know, that has happened and does happen sometimes. But for the most part, it's going to be kind of like here and there, you know, maybe a couple months down the line, maybe a month away, maybe a couple weeks. You know, everybody is basically like your audience. Basically, you're building your platform and you're building your audience. So everybody's going to need things at different times and everything, and come to you, you know, basically you're creating, making yourself into somebody who, you know, when people do need beats, they will come to you because you are, you know, putting out all this content and they're constantly reminded of you, and you're helping them in their career, you know. So they're going to just naturally want to come to you when it's time to get some beats, if they dig your beats, you know. So, and that gives a huge leg up on, you know, anybody else who's not doing that stuff. Most people, all they do is make their beats, and they say, you know, they throw out links to their beats and say, check out my beats. I mean, that just doesn't work. I mean, we do it with our art too. You know, how often do we put out a book or something and say, okay, I just worked my butt off, you know, doing this thing, and now it's time to promote it, and all you do is say, you know, come buy my book. Well, there's 1,000 other people out there saying, come buy my book. So why would anybody come and look at your thing if that's all you're doing is saying, come buy my book? Now, if you're creating value and you're, you know, engaging with people in a way where they get to know who you are and they enjoy who you are, they're going to be much more invested. And when it's time, you know, you drop a book, you almost don't even have to say, come buy my book. You're just, they know that the book is out and they're going to come and get it. I mean, I kind of saw that with the 100 Days and putting out, you know, the Glyph comic, it's the third installment. You know, I got, you know, a few sales, like 6 or something like that, you know, sales, which is more than if I just put it out and hadn't been doing the 100 Days, you know. Because I noticed it was the people who were watching my videos who ended up buying it. So, you know, just goes to show you, video, man. So, and imagine if I had been, you know, doing that on a larger scale and building that for years, you know, then it would just start to, build on itself, you know, that like compound interest effect type of thing. So yeah, that's what I was going through, and like I said, I watched this video, and now I know that when I feel like that, which actually happens more often than I'd like to admit, but not to the degree that, you know, usually it's a lot, it's not as strong a feeling, like I'm ready to quit it all, you know, type of thing. That was a little extreme, you know, and I was literally probably going to quit. I was, like, so close to it, but I was going to give it one more day and, you know, sleep on it, and, you know, I was going to give some more, looking back into some things to try real quick, and that ended up working, you know. Now I'm really excited to really push and get this thing going, and the part of it too that's exciting to me is I'm going to try to batch things a little better, you know, organize my output. Like with the videos, I don't know if I'll get, you know, seven done every week, but I'm going to try. But I'm going to try to get at least 5 to 7 done a week. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to record and upload and, like, get all the show notes and stuff ready and get the newsletters ready and, you know, anything that I can get ready, like, all the way to the point where all I have to do is click a button, or even some things are timed releases, like, I think on Facebook and some other places, like, and you can use apps and stuff, I think. But there's ways you can have things set that they just, you know, release at a certain time or a certain day, you know. I know you can do that with the newsletters and stuff. So I'm going to just really work hard on the weekend, you know, in the morning. And when I have that time, I'm going to try to do all of that right up front, get it all done in one, like, 3-hour segment, you know. Because these videos are, you know, I'm keeping them down to, like, 1 or 2 minutes, or maybe 2 to 3 minutes, I guess, is probably more realistic. Just quick tips, you know, every day. for artists. And then not only that, but then also putting my beats up as videos. And then, you know, I have some ideas for some other kind of videos, but they'll all be relatively quick and little to no editing. You know, because I'm just trying to prime the engine, you know. I don't have time to edit beautiful videos right now, you know. And I might throw a little something in there, maybe an intro type of outro type stuff, but we'll see. I might not even do that, you know, because it's just, it's not, that just takes a lot more time, and I just want to, you know, I have to use the resources I have, and time is one of my resources, and, you know, I don't have a lot of it, so I have to use it wisely. So I'm going to really work hard on trying to get things all so set up that all I literally have to do, as far as putting videos out, is click a couple buttons each day, and that's about it. And then, you know, because there's other stuff that I have to do with the business, you know. You know, going out and trying to find, you know, and contacting and connecting to people. So that stuff takes a lot of time. So if I don't have to worry about the video stuff, and I don't have to worry about a bunch of other stuff, then, you know, I have all that time to connect with people. And that kind of brings me, that's probably a good segue to the topic I wanted to talk about today. And hopefully we won't go too long, you know. I mean, I have time to talk and stuff. I just don't want to belabor you guys with a super long podcast. But I kind of, this intro went a lot longer because I was like having a hard time thinking and a little distracted. So, anyways, let's see. So the topic is basically falling in like with things that I don't usually like. That's kind of the topic. Learning to like things. And I get this idea a long time ago from a podcast. I think it was an interview from somebody, and I don't remember exactly who. It might have been the guy who wrote the book 4-Day Work Week, but I don't think it was him, but somebody who wrote a book similar to that. And I don't know, it was one of these marketing books, but they were talking about, you know, one of the things, you know, when you're trying to make a transition from your 9-to-5 job to working on your own and being your own business and making a living doing what you love, one of the things that he was saying you should do is fall in like with the job you're at, which I thought was kind of interesting and clever, you know. And at that time, I was pretty miserable at my job, and I actually kind of just rejected that. Like, I was like, hell no, I'm not gonna fall in like with my job. I hate the situation I'm in. I'm like, I mean, I'll try, maybe I could try, but I just don't see that as a possibility, because I just was so miserable at the time. But you know what, I had that kind of in my mind, and you know, I ended up trying a little bit to find ways to, like, because the idea of doing that is, you know, use your job as a learning, a place to learn, you know. If you don't like your job, well, try to find some aspects within your job where you can improve, not for necessarily the benefit of the company, because maybe you don't like the company, but, you know, for the benefit of you. You know, there's a lot of things you can do better, maybe, that, you know, if you become really good at that, you'll be able to do that when in your own business, you know. So I was like, okay, yeah. I don't know, maybe I'll try something, but I kind of don't like what this guy's saying. And, but eventually some things changed, and that's not exactly what this guy meant. But eventually some things changed within my job that made it easier to have a better attitude about liking my job. And now I'm at a point where, and this is almost a dangerous point too, but now I'm at a point where I do, you know, like my job to a certain extent. You know, I definitely don't love it, definitely want to get out of it. But, you know, it's okay. I dig it. I don't, you know, worry about going to work. I can almost enjoy it to a certain extent. Because the whole climate has changed, basically, and I'm more willing to try learning things and getting better at things, like, within the job, because certain stressful situations have ceased. So that's really good. But that whole idea still stuck in my head. And there's a book that has also sparked this, which is Thou Shalt Prosper, which it's a book by, I want to say his name is Reverend Daniel Lappin. I don't know how I remember that or if that's right. Sometimes I think I remember things and then come to find out I didn't actually. But I think that's his name. Daniel Lappin? Something like that. But he's a rabbi. He's, you know, in Jewish community. And he, you know, it's a really good book. It's a long book. But it's an audio book and I've listened to it twice. And I definitely need to revisit it, but, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, the whole, you know, stereotype of, it's interesting how he actually breaks down all the stereotypes, the Jewish stereotypes, and especially about, you know, Jewish people having money and being stingy and stuff like that. And, you know, basically it is true that Jewish people do, you know, as a whole, they make more money than any other, you know, race, really, or community. And there's reasons for that. But not every, you know, that's not true for every Jewish person, you know. And it's really interesting because, you know, as small as the Jewish people are a very actually small group compared to the whole world's population. Like, so small a percent of the population that we shouldn't even know that they even exist. Because there's a lot of sections of population that we don't, for the most part, know exist, except for maybe people who live near those sections of people or whatever. But, you know, there's so few on the earth that we shouldn't even really know that they exist, is what the point the book made. And one of the many points. but we know very much, you know, that they exist, and they've been a huge part in history, and they've also controlled at times a lot of the money and a lot of industry. Hollywood, obviously, they started really doing that. One of the things that they were really big is was into banking and stuff. I think in the UK or something like that, I forget exactly, but, you know, somewhere over there, I don't know. It might have been, like, in Germany or something, like, before all this crazy stuff happened. But, you know, so they've had a big influence in the world, and, you know, there's all the stereotypes, but it is what it is, and unfortunately they've also had a dark history, too, which everybody knows. But, you know, sorry, a little distracted here by the driving. So this book basically goes into why have the Jewish community been good with money traditionally. And why what do they know about money that has given them this leg up and stuff like that. And so it goes through a lot of stuff like that and how we as people think about money, and sometimes we think very negatively about money and business and big business. And this book kind of illustrates how a different way, really, like in its pure form, business is not really, even big business is not really a bad thing. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I pretty much agree with that for the most part. And money isn't a bad thing. You know, there's that whole saying, you know, money is the root of all evil, but that's, you know, taken from a biblical phrase that, you know, is misquoted basically. And I've talked about this in the podcast before, but, you know, the biblical account says, you know, money, the love of money is the root of all types of evil. And that's a big difference. It has to do more with the heart of man than it has to do with actual money. And, you know, it's the love of money. It's people being obsessed and really being like, that's the end game is money. You know, that's what the root of all types of evil, and not all evil either, but all types of evil. You know, basically greed. But I think there's more to it than just saying the word greed. It's the love of money, you know. It's loving that more than what really the tool of money is meant for, you know. So, you know, it kind of breaks that down. And also talks about how when you're building a business and, you know, you're starting to make money, you know, some people think that when you start to make a lot of money, that means you're taking away from the, you know, more poor section of the world. But it's not really the case when you break it down. And I need to understand this more as well, but basically they make the case that when you're doing that, you're actually creating money, like, pretty much out of thin air. You know, I mean, obviously there's money printed and this and that, but you're creating something of value, and I don't know, like, you're basically creating a whole new avenue of money making, and I don't know, it's actually a good thing, you know, in its pure form. You know, obviously, there have been many instances where big businesses and little businesses have become very corrupt and, you know, done some really messed up things in the pursuit of money. So, you know, you got to keep yourself in check. You got to have accountability. And to be fair, a lot of times also there's a lot of accusation thrown at anybody who makes any kind of success. There's always going to be accusation, and it's not always motivated by truth and justice. It's definitely motivated by jealousy, which, who's wrong in that situation? You know what I mean? In my opinion, it's the person who's jealous, you know? And, I mean, it could be both wrong on both situations. Who knows? But, you know, you got to take things case by case. But, so, the whole point of this is the idea of falling into like with things. And, you know, I'm not good. I've always pretty much kind of hated money. I mean, I've always had bad vibes with money, and I shouldn't... I don't know. It's weird. I guess it's been a mix. You know, I've hated it, and I've desired it, I guess. Not like... But it's never been really a desire just for money, for the sake of money, and for just accumulating as much wealth as I could. It's more been a desire to have the money to be able to pay the stuff I need to pay and to be able to do the things that I want to do. And, you know, it just sucks, you know. And this is one thing, is being poor, which I've pretty much, you know, been. I mean, I'm not living on the streets, but I'm darn close to it sometimes, a lot of times, you know. And I've had to take handouts way more often than I'd like to admit, you know. And it's like, I don't want to be in that position. I want to be in the position to give to people and help people. You know, I want to be the guy who says, you know, that... Is that the job site? My GPS is telling me to keep going forward. Is this the job site?
No, I'm getting something to drink.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, keep going forward. That's what mine says.
Okay. Sorry for that, guys. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll keep that in there. It's a slice of life. But yeah, I record these while I'm driving, so that's the time I have, using my resources. So, I'll see. Hopefully it wasn't distorted either. So I'll see. I'll check it out, but if it's... whatever. Anyways. So what was I talking about? So, falling into like with money, I guess, is the thing. You know, and that's becoming a process. Because the thing is some of these, you know, these marketing guys and stuff, they're saying, you know, you gotta kind of get a little bit obsessed. They don't say obsessed, but they say you gotta be thinking about money a lot. It's just like anything, really. That's kind of the whole idea of business is, I mean, the whole point is to make a profit and to make a living and to put food on the table, you know? But it's all pretty much revolves around money, sort of. I mean, even though that's not what you're mainly doing, you're providing value and helping people, if you're doing it right, you know? And people are paying you because they've been helped. So, you know, I have to have a better relationship with money. I have to... And I, you know, it's interesting because as I've been growing and trying to learn, you know, more and more and trying to do this business stuff, I have found money to be actually a pretty cool motivator. It's like when all the things I'm trying are not working and... you know, I'm getting frustrated. Sometimes a business thing that could maybe help me make more money, or the fact that, you know, if I sit here and spend a lot of time making a comic, I kind of don't have a lot of faith that that's going to make me a lot of money because the evidence is all around me. But I do see people making money with prints and with, you know, one-off drawings and things like that. So I like doing both. I really enjoy doing both. But if there's a little more money behind one thing than the other, it kind of motivates me, you know, to maybe try the other thing. And I don't think that's that bad of a thing, you know, or really I don't think it is a bad thing. But, so that's even with the Beats thing, like, I kind of see it as a cool business model, and I see it as an opportunity to be more of a service and less of, here I'm making a thing that I like, and hopefully you like it too. You know, with the Beats, it's like, well, there's a lot of MCs, a lot of rappers out there trying to make their music, and trying to, you know, make a career for themselves with their music, and, you know, I can be of service to them because I can make beats, and, you know, they'll pay for that service because they need it. So it makes sense in that realm, and I don't really want to do that with illustration. I've just heard about how, for some reason, people just don't value art in a lot of situations, and it's just, it's wrong, and I don't like that, but unfortunately, it's kind of the reality. But I still believe you can make money with art. I'm not saying that. I still am planning to. But I don't think I've been going about it the right way, really. You know? Or I've been trying, and I think some things have worked and some things haven't. And I think the idea of getting your properties out, like your characters and all that, and creating a business kind of around that, is a cool idea, but it's a long-term thing, you know. It's something that's, you know, takes a long time usually to get going, and I've been trying, but I still am going to give that a go, because that's still a big dream of mine. But this whole beat thing I kind of saw as maybe a little bit easier, because you create these beats, and the main way I want to sell them is through leases and not really exclusive sales, you know. So it's different than illustration in that way, where the same thing can be sold. You know, it's like we spend all this time making comics, and then, you know, people either want them for free or they want, you know, to spend maybe $3 on them. And it's like, really? And I can make a beat, and, you know, it takes a while, but maybe not even close to as much as comics. You know, it probably takes about the length of, you know, creating one comic page, maybe, as it does to make a beat. I mean, it depends on who you are and stuff. I don't know. It could take like a week to make a beat or something like that. And it could take a few hours, too. It depends on how it works out. But then that one beat can make me $25 over and over and over again. You know what I mean? So it's like, and that's just at the lower lease level. If somebody wants to get a little bit higher lease, it goes up to 50, then it goes up to 100. And then an exclusive, you know, I'm going to charge an arm and a leg for that, because now you're taking away one of my streams of income. You know, you're taking away my $25 here or there, you know, type of thing. So now I'm going to charge somewhere from 500 to 1,000 or something like that for one beat, you know. Whatever seems to be worth it. And some people don't even do the exclusive beats. They only do leases because they want that residual income. But that's the thing, is I've always been trying to find out how to do residual income, because I want to be able to set up things and systems and stuff that work for me, so that I can focus more on making the stuff I love to make, you know? So, I mean, it really, to me, I think that there's nothing wrong with that, you know? People have a need, they're going to buy it, and, you know, I don't know, I just really like that model. So I'm learning to fall in like with money. Not love. The love of money, it ain't good. You know, I mean, to a certain extent, but like the love, like being obsessed, you know, and where money is the end goal and that's all you care about, that's where you're going to get into problems, you know. And especially as it scales up. So there's that. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was falling in like with business. Like the business aspect of what we do. I've talked about this before, but, you know, I've heard it said many times on the 48 Days podcast with Dan Miller. He talks about this. He says, you know, creating the product is like 10 to 20. I mean, he says it has a certain specific percentage, but I forget what it is. But making the product is like 10 to 20% of the work, you know. And a lot of times people who do businesses, they have other people make the product. You know, they have maybe have the idea, but then they get, you know, hire somebody to create it. And that's what we're doing with our art. We're really just doing the small part of the whole picture, you know. And, you know, we all want to... that's what we want to do. Like, when we first were thinking about doing comics and stuff, you know, we're like, that's what I want to do for a living. That is so fun, looks so fun, and you're creating characters, and you're making stories, and drawing cool things, and, you know, all that stuff. That's what I want to do. So you think about that, but you can't really just do that. You have to, there's a lot more to it, especially if you're doing it independently. And that other 80 to 90% is marketing, just the business side of it, keeping tabs on your money, trying to sell it, you know, creating content that isn't comics, you know, but like these videos and stuff like that. So you know, that is the larger percentage of what we need to be doing, and it kind of sucks because we all want to do the art. And there's ways you can kind of do it in a way where you're doing a larger percentage of art, you know, because that is the content, you know what I mean? Like doing videos of yourself drawing or whatever, and a lot of other things. But hold on, I gotta pause it here for. So yeah, so following in like with business, you know, getting, how do we, you know, if that's gonna be a bigger part than we really want it to be, how do we get motivated to do that? Like, it's like, oh man, is that really what we have to do? You know, I want to make art. I don't want to, you know, spend more time on the business side than the art side, you know? And like I said, there's some things you can do, but, to kind of make the art part a little more, but, you know, for the most part, you know, if you're going to do it independently, I mean, you could get a job doing your art, you know, for a company, but, you know, the money side is, you know, a lot less probable that it's going to get bigger very quickly. So, I don't know, it kind of depends, and you're also going to have to, you know, cater to the whims of all kinds of things you might not want to, you know, and do a lot of art that you might not be interested in. So, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, but you just got to find out what it is you actually want to do and go for it, you know, and just focus on that. But, you know, as far, you know, if you want to do it as your own business, then you're going to have to pay a lot of attention to the money and the business side of things, and the selling side of things, and the marketing side of things. And that's why sometimes I wonder if we're too close to what we create, you know. Should we maybe try doing something that isn't like our passion project? But something we still enjoy, you know. I mean, there's tons of stuff I could do that I enjoy. but it doesn't have to be like the number one thing I've been dreaming about doing, you know, since I was a kid. Although some say that's your best bet, you know, to do that. So, but they say that, I think, because they know how hard it is to do any of this stuff. So you might as well be doing what you like if you're going to be miserable, basically. I don't know. I kind of get that feeling because, you know, a lot of these people, they say a lot of things, but are they making a living doing what they love? Or are they barely scraping by doing what they love? Or do they have a day job, you know? And I've been barely scraping by for long enough. I kind of feel like I need to make advancements, you know, just in my life. Like, I want to be the guy who can, you know, pay for somebody's dinner or something, you know, or even like when I'm, you know, going out, you know, even hanging out with my mom or something, like a lot of times she'll pay for food for us or, you know, she'll do stuff like that. And it's like, I can't even like buy my mom a dinner like without sweating, you know. I do sometimes try to do stuff like that, but it's like every time I do, I'm like, oh, am I going to have enough money to pay the rent, you know? It's just crazy, you know, but I try to do it anyway sometimes, and, you know, I end up being okay usually, so. But still, like, I'm not saying that's not the only point, you know. I just want to, you know, like, if I think about it, I always, like, stay positive and try to use what I have as resources whenever it comes to a point where I don't have something that I need to create what I want to create. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just figure out a way to do it anyways, but it'll be kind of the long way around because I don't have the equipment to do it right, you know, type of thing. And I don't even blink an eye, like, but I was describing to somebody recently, you know, what I have to create, and the more I was thinking, you know, because I had that, somebody asked me the question, I was like, man, I am really working with the bare bones. Like, all the programs I have are either free programs, or they're, like, the limited version, you know, and I don't believe in stealing programs, so, you know, that kind of screws me over a little bit. Because there's definitely, with the beats and stuff, I have a limited version of Reason, and there's so much more to the new version. It's in the full versions that it's like, it would just be so much easier if I had that. And then there's another program that kind of goes with it that would help too. And it's like, that's going to be like $500 to $1,000 if I want to get both programs, or maybe not that much, maybe more like $700-$800, but still. You know, and then just like my equipment, like I don't even have good studio monitors. I have computer speakers, you know, and to mix these things properly, you need some good monitors. It doesn't even, like, there's a pair of monitors you can get for like $99 that a lot, most people use that are good enough, you know. I mean, that's actually somewhat doable, but I'd also have to figure out something with an interface, which is going to be another, like, who knows, $100 or so. And I've never even done that before, because the way I do it is so, like, bare minimum. And even the programs that I have purchased, they're on, like, a newer system, so, like, you know, they're on the newer Windows system, which is outdated, even that's outdated, but, you know, so they don't really work properly on this system. They don't work at all, really. I had to, like, hack the programs I did purchase, you know, so that they would work on it. So it's just like, the whole point is that it's like, I'm scraping by, you know, barely, like, it's a wonder, like, how do I even make all this stuff? And what the answer is I try to keep things, you know, analog, especially with the art, you know. I don't do a lot of computer stuff, you know. I do more the, you know, analog stuff, and I scan it in. I have a scanner, you know, but I could use a larger one if I want to do comics, you know. So that's another thing I need. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. So I want to you know, level up in life. You know, I want to be able to be that guy who provides for himself and his family, takes care of his family, and has some extra money to help some other people out. You know, that kind of thing. And I'd love to be a person who, you know, is making enough money where I could hire people, you know, like hire some of you guys, hire my friends, you know, to help me out in certain aspects with maybe graphic design or, you know, who knows, maybe I could hire somebody to draw one of the comics that I'm writing or something, you know. I mean, I have more ideas than I have the resources to get to, you know. So, in order to do that, I need to freaking, like, kind of grow up, you know, in some areas. I need to learn how to focus on the business side of things. One thing I'm going to be looking into doing very soon, and I should have done this a million years ago, but, you know, get like a business license and tax ID or whatever. I don't even know what all the stuff is because I've ignored it for so long. So So what I'm learning is business, you know, falling in like with business is actually not as horrible as I kind of thought it was. Because honestly, business is kind of just like art in some ways, and if you do it right, you know, it is an art, you know, and marketing and sales and all that stuff. That you're better off when you're doing that, you're better off with it if you are being really creative and you're having fun with it, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be a drudgery. Like, creating events and just creating cool things that people, you know, people, it will be a service to somebody or people will like, that's actually kind of fun, you know? And, like, creating systems that, you know, there's ways you can be creative and, like, creating systems where, you know, people pay you on kind of a residual basis, and that can be fun too. It's almost like a video game, you know, like you kind of see it as points, you know, and accomplishments and things like that. You know, beating challenges, defeating bosses and stuff like that, you know. As long as you keep it, you know, you're not stepping on people, which is something I would definitely avoid in all ways possible. I mean, I believe in, you know, doing it in an ethical way. I don't want to do anything that's hurting anybody, you know. So, there's a lot of fun parts to business that you don't have to be a guy in a business suit with a briefcase walking to freaking some tower in New York, you know, to go and be in business and schmoozing and, you know, that doesn't have to be. We got to get that image out of our head, you know, because that's not what business is all the time. You know, there's so many different ways and forms of what business is. And there's fun ways to do it. So I don't know. That's kind of what I've been thinking about. And, you know, what I've been learning, and I am learning, and, you know, I think we all need to kind of get a dose of what the reality of trying to do this, because I think even though we say we're not doing it, a lot of us are kind of just waiting for someone to discover us, you know? And it's just not going to happen. And even if it does, that situation is probably not that great of a situation. You know, we always talk about, you know, the idea of Stan Lee, like, tapping you on the shoulder and say, hey, I like what you're doing. Come work with me, kid. Yeah, well, the people who worked under Stan Lee didn't really love it, you know, all the time, you know. That's pretty obvious, you know. All the lawsuits are proof of that. And I'm not saying Stan Lee's a bad person. I'm just saying, like, working for Marvel, like, they were more about the bottom line than about the creativity, you know. Actually, Stan, luckily, was part of the creative part, which is really cool. But he was a man of the company. So, anyways, I always go into that somehow. But, you know, stop waiting to be discovered is the point, you know. And I'm just as guilty of it. And I know that we're not thinking of it that way usually, but we still kind of are, because we're not, like, I don't see many people in the art community thinking about business as business. They think about their art and they're trying to use a couple things they heard about, you know, from other people who've done business, you know. But other than that, they're not really focused on the business aspect of it. They don't spend time trying to learn and read and listen to audiobooks and podcasts about marketing and business. That's kind of why I created this podcast, because I don't see it and I need it, you know. And there, I have run into, I mean, Jeff Lafferty is actually a pretty cool example of somebody who does study that stuff. But even in that extreme, he still wants to focus more on the art. But he's totally all about learning that stuff. And he has learned some things and has created a system that is working pretty well so far. You know, but I'm sure he wants to ramp that up. And, you know, we just need to be way more focused on this stuff than we are. You know, there's other examples of people who are. And I don't know. I'm just tired of living in dreamland and getting nowhere, you know. And I want to get somewhere. I mean, that's the whole thing, so. Anyways, that's about it, guys. Thanks for listening. You guys are awesome. And I'm going to talk to you on the next Escape Artist podcast, hosted at DonkeyJawProjects.com. Later.
Music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at DonkeyJawProjects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to Patreon.com/Plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.